Revelation chapter 5. You know, we just finished celebrating the incarnation, right? Jesus came down from heaven, came to earth, became like one of us, and so on. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And praise God for that. So we're going to move from the incarnation to the crucifixion today. And I thought it would be very fitting to take a look at Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to start off with a few verses from Revelation chapter 4 to look at and remind ourselves again of the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, right? And so when we move into Revelation chapter 4, it's the third section of the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, Jesus told John, who was writing the book of Revelation, he said, write the things that you have seen, the things that are, and the things that will take place after these things. And so this is that third section, what will take place after these things. And so when we get to Revelation chapter 4, it says, after these things, that's in the Greek, it's the word metatata, after these things, I looked and beheld a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the Spirit, John writes. Immediately I was in the Spirit. He heard a voice as a trumpet. What does that make you think of? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Christ himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. There's great comfort in those words because we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation happens. That this right here in verse 1 of chapter 4, it's a picture. It's a vision that John is given of the rapture. By the way, just a little side note, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of Revelation, the word church is mentioned at least 13 times. You don't see the church mentioned anymore after chapter 3. Chapter 4, chapter 5, throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. And the next time you see the church, it's the saints coming back with Jesus, Revelation 19, to earth. And ultimately, we're going to rule and reign with him during the millennial reign. And so this is a picture of the rapture. And look what it says here. It says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. God Almighty sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like jasper, sardis and stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, and an appearance like an emerald. What a scene. What a scene. This is, by the way, Command Central. Remember, Jesus is on the throne. We've been saying that a lot lately. We have to remind ourselves of that. You look at what's going on. What's going on? Everything's falling apart. No, everything's coming together. Jesus is on the throne. Remember, Jesus is on the throne. We're looking at heaven right now. He's in the throne room. He's sitting on the throne, Command Central. He's sovereign over everything, and that will never change. He's on the throne. And around the throne, you know, first of all, on the throne, he's seen as sardis and as jasper. You know, that these lights are emanating from the throne. What a scene. And around the throne is this rainbow. And also, verse 4, around the throne are 24 thrones, and on the thrones are 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes. They represent the church. And the white robes represent righteousness because they've been washed in the blood and made right, made clean. And they have crowns of gold on their heads. And it says in verse 8, and the four living creatures, these four living creatures, by the way, these are mighty angels, cherubim. These four living creatures, each having six wings and full of eyes around, interesting creatures, eyes everywhere so they see everything, wisdom, right? And the six wings, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Why did I say holy three times? I'm not sure, but it could be a triune God. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, again, a picture of the church, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. Listen, some people say, and I've heard many people say it over the years, I'm not really into crowns, rewards, you know. It's like, I'm humble. I just want to serve the Lord. Well, you should be into crowns. You should be into rewards. If God's into them, you ought to be into them, right? But listen, those crowns are not for us. They're the work of God in our lives. There's five crowns listed in the scriptures. I'm not going to get into that right now. We don't have time. But those crowns are not for us. Ultimately, we're going to lay them at the feet of Him who sits on the throne. Why? Because He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Everything we do on earth is to His glory, right? So they fall down, these elders, picture of the church, and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before Him, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will," or in the King James Version, it says, "for Your pleasure, they exist and were created." Think about that for a moment. God created us in His image, and He created us for His pleasure, according to His will. Imagine that. God takes pleasure in us and me, you might say. I say that. I don't know about you. He takes pleasure in me. He does. He takes pleasure. He created us for His pleasure. He takes delight in us. I don't know if we always see that and see ourselves that way, because we see ourselves as what we know we are. God sees us as He knows, as complete, washed in the blood, white robes. He takes pleasure in us. And we're created for His will, ultimately to do His will, right? And in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "And I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, the Ancient of Days, there was a scroll in His right hand, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." That would suggest that it's a legal document of some sort, a will and testament, or perhaps a title deed. That's what I believe it is, the title deed to planet Earth. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." Are there weak angels? I mean, there's mighty cherubim. They're the strongest of all, but I don't know if there's any weak angels. Anyway, this is a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open a scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven and on earth or under earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it, because nobody was worthy. Nobody was worthy. He's not saying who's willing. He's saying who's worthy. "So I wept," John wrote. I wept. The idea is I sobbed profusely. I convulsed because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll and look at it. Why is John weeping, convulsing like this, profusely? Because he realizes if someone's not able to open the scroll and redeem the earth, we're going to live under the rule we're under now. I mean, God's on the throne, but Satan has power. Short-term lease, though. Very short. And so John is weeping. See, we must remember all the way back, Genesis chapter 1, right? Verse 26 and verse 27. "Let us make man in our image," God said, in our likeness. So God created them male and female. He created humankind in his image and gave them dominion. That's a word you hear a lot these days, right? Dominion. Dominion means rule or control. He gave Adam dominion over the earth. He said, be fruitful and multiply and subdue it. And then, of course, he put together the garden, planted a beautiful garden and four rivers flowing to it. And, you know, Adam named all the animals. And he was given rule or authority over the earth, Adam was. And then, of course, he put Adam asleep and took out of Adam and built woman and brought woman to Adam. And he said, well, now this is bone of my bone or flesh of my flesh. Now we're talking. That she shall be called woman, and for that reason a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And they were naked, and they weren't even ashamed. I believe they were probably shrouded in light or something. They were pure. That's the end of chapter 2, and then you move into chapter 3. And we know what happens in chapter 3, right? God planted a tree. He planted the whole garden, and it was all for Adam, except he gave a command. Don't eat of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of course, in the day you eat it, you will surely die. So what did the serpent slither up and say to Eve? What did she say? You will not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, you will become like him. And you will know good from evil. In other words, you'll be God. That's the lie. Makes me think of Romans chapter 1. They worship creation rather than the creator, and they believed the lie. And God gave them over to the vile passions. And you know the rest, most of us anyway. But think about that. When Adam sinned, when Adam ate, because Eve ate and then gave some to Adam, Eve was deceived, Adam knew better. Suddenly they were naked, and they were ashamed. That's what sin does, bring shame. And they ran and hid themselves in the fig leaves, and you know the rest, right? But when that happened, Adam forfeited. He gave dominion to Satan. But of course, God came along and he declared war against Satan. In verse 15 of chapter 3, he said the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would crush the head of the serpent, Satan, referring to the cross. Referring to the cross. Very interesting. And so here now, God the Father is holding in his hand the title deed to the earth, which Adam lost dominion of, and now Satan has, right? Satan's the god of this age who blinds those who don't believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we know that. He's the prince of the power of the air who now works in the sons of disobedience. In which we once all walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, right? Here's one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. But we are of God. That are those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We are of God, but the whole world that walks according to the prince of the power of the air, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Satan himself. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? And one of the things that Satan used to tempt him, he took him up on a high mountain and he said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. They're mine. I can do what I want with them. And all you have to do, Jesus, is bow down to me and it's all yours. Jesus didn't dispute that. Short-term lease. For a time. Of course, we know how it's going to end. He's going to be thrown in prison. 1,000 years. Millennial reign. He'll be let loose one more time. It's not going to be for long. And then lake of fire and brimstone. Tormented day and night forever and ever. We know how it ends. It does have a happy ending. It's just all when. How, timing, right? It's all a matter of timing. And so, John is weeping. He's weeping here because he realizes who's gonna take the scroll? Who's going to redeem the earth? But one of the elders, verse 5, said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open a scroll and to loose its seals. Prevailed is the idea of he's won the victory. He has overcome. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And he defeated Satan himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He has prevailed. And then in verse 6 it says, and I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Not the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but a lamb as though it had been slain. Having seven horns, that denotes power, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Isn't that interesting? He saw Jesus in heaven. Remember, this is a scene in heaven. Revelation 4 and 5, this is heaven. And in heaven, he sees Jesus as a little lamb who is slain. Could it be, when we get to heaven, that's what we'll see? Could it be that we'll see the marks in his wrists, in his feet, in his side? It says in Isaiah 52 that his appearance was marred more than any man. Could it be that that's how we'll see Jesus? Could it be that when we see him, we'll see him in a way we never thought that we ever would, and then we'll get it fully? This is a lot I think we don't understand about what Jesus did for us on the cross. I don't know. Perhaps. That's what John saw here in heaven. And then in verse 7 it says, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, you and I who believe in Christ. Isn't that interesting? These golden bowls are filled with prayers. It's like God stores up our prayers. Our prayers are like incense rising to the Lord, sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And here's the thing. He delights in our prayers. Here's the thing. He remembers prayers that we prayed, and we don't even remember we prayed them, and he remembers them and answers them according to his will. Isn't that amazing? He's storing them up. Wow. And they sang a new song. Who's they? Us. That's who. It's the church. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open his seals, for you were slain and have redeemed God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, they sang a new song. The church in heaven sang a new song. Look what it says there. Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. The church is in heaven at this point. And the wrath of God will be poured out in the next chapter, chapter 6. See, we were removed from the earth because we're not appointed to wrath, you see. And so they sang a new song. We sang a new song. Why? Because we're new creations. Old things pass away. All things become new. We have a new name. We will have a new name. We'll have new bodies. God's going to make everything new. Yeah, thank you. You're right. Thank you. I'm about ready for one of those. New body. He's going to make everything new. Heaven and earth will all be made new. I like what Paul said. You know, Paul was recounting a lot of the things he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're always carrying about the dying of the Lord Jesus in our body so that he would be made more manifest through us. In other words, the more we die, the more you see Jesus in us. It's all for your purpose. But Paul would go through this long list of stuff that he went through. And he said, this is what Paul said. It's a light affliction, but for a moment. Perspective, heavenly perspective, you know? I mean, think about it. Paul was, you know, beaten with rods. You know, he was scourged 5 times. He was stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked, all the things he went through. Light affliction, just for a moment, right? Because I know where I'm going, and it's all good. To live as Christ, to die as gain, he would say. But see, Paul would go on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. And look, our outward man is perishing. Let's get real. But our inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen. Amen. And so, he redeemed us. The Lamb who was slain redeemed us by his blood. He bought us back. He redeemed the earth. He can take the title deed to earth and redeem us by his blood. It says in Revelation chapter 12, and get there real quick, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, Satan, who has accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. We're cleansed by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. We're cleansed by the blood. We're blood bought, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit in whom he dwells? Right? And you are not your own. You were bought at a price. What's the price? His blood. Death on the cross, his blood was shed, and we're washed in the blood. Therefore, we ought to glorify God with our bodies. Right? That's the idea. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, second towards the end, it says, he's the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth. Can you wrap your brain around that one? I mean, before, remember when Jesus claimed God claimed war in Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, right? Well, that was already done before man sinned. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth. Trying to figure this stuff out, it's an amazing thing. It says in Revelation chapter 7, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude, it's verse 9, which no one could number of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And there's the white robes again. The righteousness of Christ. We're robed in his righteousness. And notice, this is the church in heaven, all tribes, peoples, tongues, and nations redeemed out of the earth. And even though we have been redeemed, the transaction has not been completed yet. Did you know that? We've been redeemed, but we await the completion of our redemption, right? When we go to heaven, we await that. And for now, we have been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment, right? Like a guarantee. That he's coming back for the purchased possession. That's us. It's like if you were selling something, your car or your house, and I came and said, I'll buy it. Here's my down payment. Let's write up a little contract here or whatever. And I'll be back next week or whenever it is with the rest of the money. But my down payment guarantees I'm coming back for the purchased possession. He's coming back for us. Or we're going to him, whichever comes first, death or rapture. And so, we await the completion of our redemption. But right now, we groan in these bodies, right? There are several scriptures that talk about that. Romans chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We await, we're groaning. This hurts, this aches. Look at what's going on in the world. All these things. It's like, oh, Lord, come quickly. That's okay, we can say that. That's how the Bible ends, you know. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, second to last verse. Even so, come, Lord, quickly. That's okay, you could pray that. Even so, come, Lord, quickly. In the meantime, we'll be about your business, Lord. Then I looked, verse 11, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, that's his way of saying, I can't count it. Innumerable. Billions and trillions and, I don't know, gazillions and what? Just innumerable. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor. Honor. We honor you, Lord. Worship. Worship is worship. We honor you and give you glory and blessing because Jesus is worthy to receive all of our glory, all of our praise, all of our thanks, all of our honor. We worship you, Lord. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him who lives forever. What a scene. This is the heavenly scene, and the agenda in heaven is worshiping Jesus. Worship. And so if that's the agenda in heaven and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we want to worship.